Get your curiosity ready. Piano Bag Talks is about to begin. This podcast is brought to you by Piano Bike, the first Brazilian piano on wheels. Do you want to learn more about this musical contraption? Check the link on the description.
On today's episode, we'll talk about the dilemmas of the artist in the 21st century. We are here with Frederick. Hello, Frederick. Yes. How are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you doing, Leandro?
I'm fine. You're a photographer, right?
Yes, yes, I am indeed.
And do you, I've saw your Instagram. You do a lot of photos of nature.
Yeah, I do. It's because I'm located in South Africa. Actually, I'm Danish, but the last 8 years I've been living in South Africa on a farm out in the bush, and therefore my surroundings of wildlife photography and, you know, landscape photography. So that is why I predominantly shoot wildlife and landscape.
For how long are you there? I'm sorry.
For 8 years. I've been here for eight years.
Do you live alone or do you have family or?
No, so actually a lodge. So my parents and I, we're in the tourism industry and we've been doing it for many, many years. And when I was 13 years old, I decided to come down here to South Africa and my life kind of changed. I got the opportunity and I didn't hesitate to give an answer. I just went as soon as I could because that was my dream and I thought, okay, now I have the chance, so let me go chase it. That's why I've been here for the last 8 years. I'm done with my goal was to finish high school here, and now I'm done with it. We still have our base here, and I enjoy South Africa. And so, yeah, right now during the lockdown, I kind of need to stay in one place. So now when I can stay here, I'll choose over anywhere else any day.
Do you this place where you live, this city, is because South Africa is more of a rich part of Africa, right? Is it a richest part or is it a poorest part?
No, it's, I won't say. I mean, there's both poverty and, you know, there's also rich areas and there's wealth in certain areas. However, for example, it is said that the richest square mile in Africa is in South Africa. However, some of the poorest places are also in South Africa. So it is, you know, it is, there's a lot of different environments. Some are rich and others are poor.
Do you hike?
Yeah. Oh, I live most probably like 30 kilometers from something called the Drakensberg Mountains, and it's a very huge mountain range. Right now the military and the police are controlling the roads, so it's actually almost illegal to go out unless you go out for the purpose of visiting a doctor or a dentist or going out to shop for groceries. So usually when we didn't have a pandemic happening around the world, then yes, I would go hiking. But so far right now, I can only walk around on our own land, which is 110 hectares, and we have 400 animals. So that's hiking enough for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's begin our talk here about the theme. To help us organize this talk, guys, we will divide it in two blocks. Okay, first one we'll talk about more of a general talk around this theme that of art and the challenges of productivity in the 21st century, and on the second block with Frederick, we'll talk about a little bit of the role of the internet in all of that. So let's go. Art is 99% expiration and 1% inspiration.
I mean, it is, you said 99%.
It's a cliche, right?
Yeah, it is. Because you can find inspiration within everything. And what did it state in the beginning? 99% exploration and 1% inspiration.
Inspiration, yes.
Yeah, like we have all the means in the world to explore whatever part of the world we wish to, even the world within us. However, if we do not find the inspiration to explore it, the exploration will be untapped and taken for granted. And that is technically, you know, art. That exploring the world that's within us and the world that is outside of us, and then producing something becomes art.
I'm sorry.
I like that quote.
It's not, I agree with you, but it's not exploration, it's expiration, you know?
Oh, expiration.
Yes, but exploration is the for that too.
Yeah, no, sorry, I heard wrong.
Maybe expiration comes from exploration, and exploration comes from expiration, so it's, you know, one thing can lead to the other, right? I think that.
Yeah, I suppose. My bad.
No problem. So it's with this quote that we begin the first block. Frederick, as we said on the comment of this quote, it's a cliche. I don't know if you have heard this quote before, but it's a cliche, right? And as a cliche, it has its good side and bad side. I want to tell you what I think about this quote, and then if you can share with us what you think. You already shared a bit, but let's try to explore it a little bit more, okay? I mean, there are two things that I think about this quote. The first one is that normally, I don't know if you have this, but normally we have this idea of people in general, the society has this idea that the artist, being a musician, a photographer, or anything, he has this kind of magical inspiration that makes he go into like a trance and create things. And I think that this idea is not completely true, because puts the artist in a place where he's like a person that creates out of a random event that happens to him, and it only depends on inspiration. Do you think that people where you live or the society where you've grown into have this idea that artists are like, have this you have you understood what I just said?
Yeah, I have. I mean, you know, I think it is very funny, because it all comes down to the way the artist views the artist themselves. Because of course, yes, society often has a huge impact on society or the individual of society, whether it is an artist or a scientist, you know. But now when we speak about art, then I think it is very important to be able to come to terms with art oneself. And when you produce a piece of art, you also put it out to the people. And when people interpret something, they interpret it with all sorts of senses and feelings. And it is all like their feeling is determined of their state of mind, and whether they are living in the past or being present or dwelling upon the future will give them will put them in a state of a certain feeling. And when they live in these states, they'll interpret art in different ways. So when it comes to the artist himself or herself, they must just produce without taking society too much into consideration, because each to their own, you know. Like, be curious about creating, be curious about what you can produce without damaging yourself or beating yourself up for what other people or the society's on your work is, because then you won't feel and experience that authentic like flow of creativity that you hold within yourself.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know. I think I answered that question. I don't know. Did I? Okay.
I have another thought about this quote. The other side of the coin, I don't know about you, but I have this. I'm a composer and a pianist, and I have piano by the. It's a piano.
Yeah, I checked you out on Instagram. It's really cool. I want to come. I want to come see you and support you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh.
But I'm also I have studied business, so I have this vein, you know, of knowing how to organize myself and to have objectives to achieve and things like that.
Yeah.
And as an artist, for some time when I was younger, I had this idea that I had to be fully inspired to produce. But nowadays, in the last, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, I have realized that I have really to sit down and do the work like any other work, you know? It's another cliche, but when you, that's in a position of the this thing that I told you, that the society thinks sometimes that the artist is almost always can work.
In a state of.
Yeah, in a state of trance and has to.
Yeah.
He has to have this inspiration. You have the idea that of a muse, you know, the artist has a muse that inspires him. All these ideas leads you to think that you must have inspiration. But I think that it's the opposite. Yesterday, I have a composition project with a friend of mine, and we are making a EP, right? So yesterday we have like 5 musics to do, and they are all in the beginning stage. And I'm the composer, I have to compose all the instruments. And for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, I was focused on other things and leaving it aside and thinking, oh, sometime it will come to me, the inspiration to do it. But no, the inspiration didn't come. Yesterday, I just sat down and said, I will do it. And then I began doing it. What do you think about it? Do you think that most of the job is to really sit down and do it?
I mean, I think that is a very interesting case, because when it comes to creativity, I feel like when an idea comes to you, then it comes to you because this idea knows. Let's for the sake of this conversation, give the idea a being. So this being knows that you are capable of producing what your idea is about, and therefore creativity will come to you, because you have to work together with the creativity in order to produce a result of X, Y, Z, you know? However, when you push it away or say, okay, no, I don't have time right now, then yeah, you might be able to push away that inspiration that comes to you. However, sometimes creativity has patience with you, meaning that maybe in this present moment where you have been focusing on other things, creativity will come to you later on and say, okay, I am here now. But once you push creativity away, you can't expect it to be back whenever you wish for it to be back. So when it's there, become good friends with it and start cooperating. Because time is basically an illusion. There's no past, and there's no future. All there is right now. The future is just, it's a term given to a tense. So it's a tense and say, okay, it's a future. However, the future is a predetermined image of what you want now, and past is merely just glimpse of memory of what happened now. So, or, like, if you really want to tap into creativity, then you have to, then when it comes to you, then embrace it and live with it. And don't push it away, because even me, myself, I've done that several times when I've been out, like, shooting some sunsets or time lapses or something like that. I'll say, no, I'll do it tomorrow. But maybe that moment, that the purity of that moment will not be there tomorrow, because it's there now. And when now comes tomorrow, then it's completely different. And then you might have a different type of inspiration, and there's so many, you know, factors that influence what happens in the now. So when you get inspiration, then cooperate with it, use it, and say, okay, listen, this is what we can do. But if you push it to maybe, let's say, a week later, and you say, okay, now I just have to sit down and do the work, and you don't feel so inspired, then, you know, it's because that inspiration has been pushed away. So when you have it, harvest it.
What you just said has I think about, it's a funny thing, like I always walk with a handbook, you know,
yes.
to record my ideas. Do you do
of
that?
Of course, I like that, yeah.
Because I think that it's very important, not only for an artist, but for anyone like that, that has ideas, to write it down so that you can remember later, because normally you forget, right?
Yeah, no, for sure, but it is very important. I remember that's a little skill that I picked up from my dad, because he told me once about an old friend of his that got an idea and it turned him into a multi-millionaire, and he got it in the middle of the night. He woke up and he wrote it down, and the following day when he woke up in the morning, then, you know, he started executing on this idea. But it was something that he got in the middle of the night in a dream, and it made him a multi-millionaire, and he just wrote it down on a piece of paper. So I think that is really, really important. Write things down. We're not robots. We cannot just take out the files that we created 15 years ago about certain things at a certain event at a certain place and time. So write it down. We are humans. Write it down.
Curiosity. I really like this word, and I also write. So I'm currently writing a book, and I have some topics that I like to write. And there's a text idea that I didn't wrote it down yet, but it's on my handbook so that I in the future can write it. And the idea is that it's like a fictional story about a guy who is in the classroom, and the teacher and the is the devil, and the devil will judge if he's alive or dead based on the fact that he's curious or not. So what I want to tell with this
that sounds
story,
interesting.
That curiosity,
yeah,
for me is one of the most important things of our nature. People used to say that what differs us from animals is our rational way of thinking, but I don't totally agree with that. I think that curiosity is one of the main human features that differs us from the rest. So I've said all that to ask you, what do you think is the role of curiosity in art?
I think you should, I like that question, really, because I think you should embrace curiosity. The thing that we have inside of us, our brain, it can produce so much. And for example, here recently, I've been starting to study neuroscience. I'm not in university, I just had a high school degree, and now I'm learning about neuroscience, and I am curious about neuroscience, because the more I know about my brain, the smarter I feel I get, like the more I get to use it. But basically, our brain is such a powerful tool, that when we embrace everything that it is capable of producing, i.e. we embrace curiosity to learn various subjects and various new actions, we will grow. We will grow in various planes, and our DNA will grow. Like the way we think, that when I get kids, one day I want kids. I'm not ready for it yet, but one day when I want kids, I know that my way of thinking will be carried on through my DNA to my kids, right? So the more curious I come about knowing things about the world or about people or about a certain topic, that will be carried through the DNA to another human being. And that is, for example, as you say, why we differ as species to other species, because we have that way of thinking. And when we become curious, so when we start daydreaming, we will embrace all the qualities of life and nature and human being as a total, without necessarily judging it as good or bad. So curiosity, man, keep it close to you. Be curious about things, and don't ever be afraid to ask a question. And don't be afraid to ask a question 5 times if you wish to get clarity upon your curiosity, you know? So ask away, get some answers. If you have a question, go find an answer, because there's sources all around the world, and curiosity, it's a great gift to have. So yeah, embrace it.
Great. I'm sorry, how old are you?
I'm 22. Yeah.
So let's go into a more practical subject on this thing. Let's talk about. I have done an event with Piano Bike. I do some events, right? People pay me for playing on a wedding, on a conference, things like that. And I did this event last year, and I've known a guy there. He's a great guy here from Brazil. He's a friend of mine. We've become friends, and we actually. He came here to Piano Bike Talks on episode 9. He talked a bit about art as a provocation to society, and he's a very interesting person with some great ideas. So he told me it was a big business that was organizing it. So it was a big organization, you know, with lots of people and lots of hierarchy. And the owner of this business was there, and he talked to him, and he seemed he had this behavior of always trying to be show others, both us and his employees, that he was always closed, you know, not talking too much and trying to be like a badass. And I talked with this friend of mine that why he did that. He did that because he was a boss. And as a boss, he must maintain the hierarchy, right? That's the normal way of behaving in a traditional company. Not every company is like that, but those that are more traditional are like that. There is a gap between who is above or below you.
Yeah, there's that societal behavior.
Yes.
Even in companies,
So he told me, this friend of mine told me that, told me like, quoting him, man, this guy, he doesn't have to do that with us, because he don't understand that us as artists, we don't have this idea of hierarchy, because we don't have a boss, we don't have an employee normally, we are our own boss, you know, and that made me think a lot, you know, we are passing through this moment in the world where entrepreneurship is a thing that is a thing right now, you know, it's a big thing right now, entrepreneurship, I'm an entrepreneur, right? Things like that, but I want to ask you, you know, like artists in general have always been entrepreneurs. So what do you think about this dilemma of not having a boss, you know? Is it good? Is it bad? How can you organize yourself? Because normally a boss is someone that gives you tasks to do.
Mm.
So as an artist, you must create your own tasks. You must organize your own workflow. And you don't have someone to tell you that what you must do and what you should do and what is right and what is wrong.
I hear what you're saying. I think it essentially comes down to self-discipline and work ethic. However, when that is said, then you know, as an artist, you are independent, but you don't always have to do it alone. You have to complete it by yourself, but you can get help from others.
Right.
So if I wish to host something huge, I can receive help from other people that's professional in that type of field, even though I'm gonna host it. So when it comes to being the boss of your own art life, then you have to bear that we are all artists and we all have skills. We have skills for each for their own, you know. So to say that one artist carries all the gifts and abilities which other artists also do is incorrect. So you might be you are a skilled pianist and musician composer. However, for me, I'm a photographer. So if you, if you wish to have more photos or professionally taking photos or something like that, or videos, you could reach out to another artist and say, hey, man, this is the case. I lack these skills. You don't necessarily have to say that I lack these skills, but essentially that is the whole topic about it. Like, I lack these skills. You have these skills. And I would really appreciate your help, or even if it's for free or if it's paid, doesn't matter. You don't always have to do things alone. However, you do have to have trust in yourself. You have to have self-discipline to say, okay, well, now this process has begun, so I'm gonna stick with it and commit and see takes me. The journey will take care of itself. I have my end goal, and now I'm just gonna ride the wave. And it might be, you know, it might be a tough wave, and there might be a lot of obstacles out there, but still it comes down to self-discipline, committing to a process, and eventually you'll be able to end up at your goal, whichever goal it is, in any field you have, actually. So self-discipline, work ethic, and yeah, be able to receive help from other people as well, because, you know, the more you give, the more you receive as well. So help people where you can, and if you wish to get help, then receive help with open arms.
I think that what you just said dialogues a lot with the, I don't know how much you know about the business world, you know, but nowadays we have this concept of shared economy, you know. Do you know
what
you know it, right?
Oh well, to a slight degree.
Yes,
how would you define it? Like
it's,
we all have to get a part of a pie, you know.
Yes,
we all have to.
Yes,
yeah.
There are some businesses, some corporations that are implementing politics within the company to share, you know, to share more the, as you the term used, greed, the revenue of the business, you know. There is the good side of it, and there's the bad side. You know, there are some businesses that say that they do that, but in reality it's not exactly like that. For example, Uber is a company that is a bit controversial, because the people that work there normally work a lot and don't receive as much. So they say that they work, that they are a shared economy, but maybe they are not that much. On the other hand, there are other companies that do it on hardcore, you know. There's a restaurant, I don't know where, but my brother told me that there's a restaurant that it's not a big restaurant. It's only one unity of the restaurant. There's no franchise and things like that, but it's a very expensive restaurant and very renowned. So the owner of the restaurant turned every employee into a partner. Everyone has a small share of the company, so they get the revenue
the at profit.
The end of the year and things like that. So,
of course.
Why did I told you that? I think that art, you just said that you can make a work and call someone else from, I'm a musician, I can call a photographer to work with me, and we will make a collaboration, you know. Maybe I'm paying him, or maybe not, but do you think art have always been, or in this idea of the shared economy, like artists have always had to collab with each other? This is a more recent thing. What do you think about that?
No, so there's something that I've learned, and that is I cannot expect creativity and art to pay the bills, because then creativity works for you, and creativity is supposed to work with you and not for you. So if you put too much pressure on creativity, then sooner or later creativity will become lazy and uninspired to keep going, you know. So yeah, I mean, if you put pressure on art and say, hey, listen, art buddy, you have to pay my bills, or else I won't survive. That is, you know, it's a little bit selfish. However, we also all need a roof over our head and bread on the table. So when you are an artist, it does not mean that you cannot receive another type of income. There's often you can go out and search for a job and get a second or third income stream, whereas you then invest into your art and say, listen, now I'm, for example, in my case, then I would upgrade and purchase a new lens or some new camera gear. However, if I have to put the pressure on my camera and my camera gear and myself in order to live and survive, I don't think I'd be hungry. But creativity would be authentic. It would just be there because it would have to pay the bills. So when it comes to art and making money off it, then it is, you know, it's because you keep going, not because of the money, but you keep going because you love what you're doing. And if it doesn't pay the bills, not a problem. Find another job whilst you still love what you love doing, whichever field of art you're doing. But when you're an artist, you don't have to limit yourself to only having one income stream, which is through your art. So there's lots of opportunities to make money nowadays. Even now during this time, 2020, when April and there's a pandemic, there's still opportunities out there to make money, even if it's online or something like that. You can still try and keep on going. Just be creative with it, but don't put too much pressure on saying, hey, creativity, you have to make money, because then it's not going to be authentic, and if it's not authentic, it's not true to yourself, and it doesn't work well together with you. So that's what I've learned. Be friends with creativity and don't make it a slavery.
Great. So Frederick just said that we must nowadays in 2020 we can use the internet to make money and to promote our art. So let's go into this topic right away.
Of
this
course.
Quote is from Bill Gates. If your business is not on the internet, then your business will be out of business.
Yeah, that is so true, because the technological era is constantly evolving. We live in 2020. It was different in 1950, you know, because that's not where the internet was taking over the world. But now everything is technological, and everyone can reach you from wherever you are in the world. So if you only have a physical shop in a certain city, only those people in that city will go to you. However, if you have a shop in that certain city and a reputation on the internet, everyone can reach you. So follow, also once again, don't be a slave to technology. Just follow the trend.
So let's talk about this relation between internet and art. Frederick, I have this idea that internet has changed a lot the way that artists produce, you know. You said that you didn't do a university on photography, but I studied composition on the university, and I have a lot of friends that did it and arts. Some other areas like theater and things like that. And I really think that, at least here in Brazil, I don't know how it works on other countries, but the university and the traditional, not only the university, but any traditional school, you know, it really gives you the technical knowledge, but it's very, very, very far from today's reality. Let me give you my example. You know, I have studied classical composition, so it is a music that's very complex, and it was very good because I really learned a lot of things. But for example, my teachers, they took about 6 months to make one music, so it's impossible to work like that on the internet. You must produce with more regularity, even if it's a less complex art. You don't have to make a 5 minutes, 10 minutes music. You must, if you do a 1 minute music that's not that complex, it's better to do 10 of that than one big music. So how do you see this new dilemma that the internet has brought to the artists, in the sense that the way that you produce has changed what you produced? The internet has its demands of the sometimes of the way you produce and what you produce. So what do you think about that?
Deandro, I think that's a really good question once again. If I may, then let me ask you a question regarding the composer that took 6 months to a piece of art, right? Did it have to take 6 months, or could it have been shorter?
He was a teacher. He had a lot of other things to do. Probably it could have been shorter, but probably
because often the thing is people they judge their work. I fall guilty for this as well. Like, I can take photos or make a video and I say, no, listen, it's not good enough, it has to be perfect, it has to be like this or like that, and then I just drag out something that is potentially really good now. So when it comes to, for example, technology, I would say the internet is a tool, man. It's really just a tool for you to streamline all your work, and you can leverage from wherever you wish to leverage from, if it's Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. It is essentially just a tool that has opened up a lot more opportunities for people. However, it has changed the game for artists, because now there's more eyeballs on you, there's more people that can reach you, and there's the more people, the more thoughts you'll get in your head and disturbance, and it can be like, I have a love-hate relationship to technology. Like, I love it because I need it, and it helps me reach so many more people, and it helps me learn so much more. However, sometimes it's also very destructive. So I think it comes down to whether or not you can use it for your own advantage at a safe measure, you know?
Talk about perfectionism and guilty in art. I think that a lot of artists suffer from this perfectionism thing, because it's art is a part of you, and you want to do it the best way possible. And there's that idea from the people that works with videos, editors, that you can always improve things. You know, you do a job today, and tomorrow you go into that, and you can I can change this and that, and 1 year from now you can still change one bit, and 10 years from now you can still change. So there's always the horizon is infinite. You know, you can always change something, but you know you must learn. I think that you must learn how to deal with that, because mainly with the internet, you can spend like, I don't know, 10 hours producing like an Instagram post. Let's use it as
an example. Yeah.
So there is a project from a Brazilian. He lives in London, and he's very successful with this project in Instagram. It's called Tira do Papel. Tira do Papel in Portuguese is like make it happen, you know, make it happen. So he gives tips to people on how to take their ideas and make them happen. And he talks to his audience, and he says that a lot of people have a good idea, are capable of doing it, but sometimes
they don't do it.
Don't do it because maybe because they have other things to do, or maybe because they procrastinate it. But there are a lot of people that don't do it because they want to do it in the most perfect way possible, you know? And then they never start doing it. You know, there's this idea that I'm also a teacher, so there's an idea in education that learning from doing, you know, you must do the thing, and then you will, this is very simple and very obvious, you know, you do the thing, we will do something's wrong, you know, you do it wrong, and then you will learn and change and learn again and do it wrong again and things like that. So how do
But that's progress. That's progress. That's really, really good, because that is a sign of progress. That is a sign that you're trying, compared to not even starting.
Yes. And how do
sorry, the question.
That's okay. How do you deal with your perfectionism, and how do you deal with this guilty of sometimes not having not doing
done
exactly
the perfect
what
way.
Wanted? And,
yeah.
Because I also had that, and I really like a tip, and maybe our audience too.
Of course. You know what? First of all, I can give an advice on what to read, because I was given a book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. And that explains about creativity. And a lot of the things that I've spoken to you about today is as well from like topics from her book. However, when it comes to perfectionism, I've had it. I can tell you now that even sometimes still I'm experiencing it, but I feel like perfectionism is just, you know, it's covered up fear of not being good enough. However, when you create something, you must create it without judging it upon something that you think it could be or something that you have already accomplished. So just whatever you create, leave it be. You don't even have to be super proud of it. Just create something, because out of a creation, my friend, something more beautiful of a creation comes. Like here recently I wrote a written piece of art, and I've never really written, and I am so proud of this piece of art that I've hung it up in my room. And it is about creativity, because I was speaking to a friend of mine about the creative block, and I felt like you know, my work just wasn't good enough, and then suddenly I just didn't feel inspired at all. However, I quickly realized that the more you create, the more creative you become. So every time you criticize yourself for the work that you do, the less creativity comes to you. And that is really like counterproductive from an artist's point of view, right? So just, create. Don't judge it. Don't judge your work as something good or bad. Don't say, no, this could be better. If it could be better and you have a solution to it, not a problem, then add it. But if you just stop producing because you think it could be better, then you're a little bit selfish. Like, I'm selfish, and people are selfish if they stop working on something because they believe it could be better. If they really truly believe it could be better, then they would make it better. But if they just stop in the middle of the process of making it and then leave it hanging and then judging themselves upon that, that becomes selfish, man, because creativity is beautiful. Just create something, and if you're not proud of it, not a problem. Create something else, because as I mentioned, out of a creation comes something more beautiful of a creation. So just create, don't judge it.
So guys, this is Frederick Farshow. If you like him, find him on Instagram, Freddy with 2 D's Farshow, or Freddy's with 2 D's also underlined photography.
Yes.
Let's go to the Momento Marília Gabriela. Marília Gabriela is a pop star here in Brazil, which has this interview program where she makes some small questions with small answers. So the idea here is to do like her. So small questions and small answers, okay? Yes,
okay.
No,
not a problem. I'll see how well I'll do that. Not a problem.
Are you a workaholic?
No.
Do you work with only with underwear?
What? No. No.
Oh, no, wait, maybe not.
When you are home editing the photos, for example.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting right here. I can look at giraffes and zebras in my room, and I have an open office, and I have shoes and pants and shirts on, so don't worry, I'm good.
Okay, because there are a lot of people nowadays that work with underwear, like home office. Let's go.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you a nerd?
Oh, damn. I don't know. I'll just say sometimes I like things a little bit too much because I find them interesting, but I wouldn't classify myself as a nerd.
Okay.
I'm just intrigued and interested.
Are you left-wing?
No. When it comes to politics?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not really into politics at all, because I find it very, very funny.
Okay.
Because I think politics are very... It has a lot of contradictions to itself and the politicians themselves. So,
are you capitalist?
Kinda when it comes to the. I'm definitely not a communist. however, like I believe if you work hard, then you deserve to be rewarded big time as well. And I believe that, you know, yeah, hard work should pay off.
Is university a must?
No. Embrace it.
Success.
Become good friends with it.
A dream you have?
I wish to explore the universe, and I wish to be able to give to everyone who isn't able to receive right now.
Are you a minimalist?
No, sometimes I think it should be good to be a minimalist.
Complete the phrase, millennials are...
Millennials are awesome.
Internet is...
toxic trap as well as a wonderful working machine.
Great. Provocations. Now it's the provocations moment. Provocation is the name of a program here in Brazil from a theater director, which he interviews people, but he's much more reflexive and philosophical than Marília Gabriela. So the same idea, you know, small questions,
yes,
but the answers can be longer and can be more reflexive. Okay.
Okay.
Is time money?
Sometimes it depends how you view money. I used to have a horrible relationship with money. I often speak about relationships because I believe that, you know, everything is technical energy and we can attract what is good for us. And sometimes money can be a good friend, and time is definitely, you know, the most luxurious commodity you have nowadays. So yeah, I'll say sometimes time is money, because you could make money by spending the time you do, or you could waste money. So yeah, it all depends on how you view time and money themselves.
Is human being nomadic by nature?
Is human beings what? Excuse me?
A nomad by nature.
Not necessarily by nature, but I believe it's something that we have developed throughout the many years of evolving as human beings. I mean, we constantly evolve. So the more knowledge, the more of a nomad lifestyle we get. Yeah, I would say we are kind of nomad by nature, but it runs through generations of generations of generations. So it's an evolving progress.
Are you greedy?
No.
Are you...
It depends. Like, like 98% of the time, no, I'm not. But if, let's say I'm hungry and I know that someone around the table, they're actually not hungry and they take the last piece of food, then I would want to try and get full. And then I become greedy, even though they also, I feel like sometimes my greediness reflects upon other people's greediness. But no, I'm not usually greedy at all.
Are you ambitious?
If you ask myself, yes. Now you're asking me, so yes. If you ask some other people close to my heart, some of them they'll say, yes, he's ambitious in his head. However, on the outside world, not. However, I do feel as if I am ambitious, for sure.
Okay. So, a controversial question. If you don't want to answer, I cut it from the edit, okay?
Not a problem.
Who did worst to the world? The capitalists, the communists, the banks, or the church?
Ooh. That is a very, you know what, it's a good question, because I feel like they all contributed in different aspects. The banks controls money, and as we spoke about, money can be time. And if people don't have time to realize that money has that time over them, then yeah, banks can control you. A church, religion, people praise religion without always or without really digging deep into what's written in between the lines, and therefore they just sometimes people just follow the herd, and sometimes the herd doesn't always go in the right direction. So religion, they also have contributed to some damage. Capitalists as well, because that has been money, you know, the poor gets poorer and the rich gets richer, and communism, everyone is kind of equal, yet the living conditions aren't always, or most of the time, are not good. So I will say that from each category, all four categories has done damage. Yes, I can't pick out one, because they've all done damage. And we, as human beings, represent that. So we have damaged ourselves.
Great. So, Frederick, the last question and the easiest of all, okay?
All right.
Frederick, what is life?
Life is beautiful, man. Life is up and down, and it's twisted, it's sideways. Life is, you know, life is about recognizing life in other individuals. And I say because I've when I was 16 I climbed Kilimanjaro, and here last year 2019 I walked around Mont Blanc both times with my sister. She's my best friend, and just my best friend completing something that I've also completed gave me more joy in my life, because I know that journey, and sometimes you don't always know the journey, but you can see someone is wholeheartedly wholesome, and when you can give someone something and you see life starts glowing up in their eyes, that is life. Life is beautiful, man. It's not always a straight road. It is never actually a straight road. It is ups, downs, twists, turns. Sometimes you drive 250 kilometers an hour, and other times you drive 2 kilometers an hour. Life is everything. Life is a roller coaster. Life is beautiful, man. Okay. Embrace it.
Great. So guys, thank you a lot for staying with us until the end. I hope you have enjoyed it, and you, Frederick, have enjoyed it.
I have indeed. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast, and thank you for asking me these questions. They were very, very interesting. I really enjoyed them. Thanks, man.
Make you think, you know, because here we are curious by nature, so the idea is to provoke us to make some crazy questions.
Yeah, make some noise, stir the pot, ask the questions, get some answers. That's important.
That's it. So give me some at the end of the podcast I make a credit, and then I put there some indications from our guests.
So all right.
A book, you've said Big Magic, Trade of Living.
Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Great.
And then can I add another book instead of a movie?
Okay.
So the second book is Transforming Vibes, Transforming Lives, How to Tune Your Inner Frequency, Comfort to Ultimate Success by Dr. Yussi Perikonen. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Or your surname, and it's amazing. I love this book. This book will be a book that I'll have throughout my whole life.
Great. Music, a group or a musical style that you like?
Life of a Busker, man. That's it. Go check them out. And Piano Bikes. That's it. I haven't seen you yet, but I wish to see you perform one day. Busking really, truly gives joy to my heart, because I see people on the street. And I see the reaction from other people on the street, and it's just so authentic. I love it. And I've been following Life of a Busker now for quite a while. So my favorite group, Life of a Busker.
Are you a friend of Sarah and Patrick from young age?
Yeah, of Patrick, yeah. I've known him for, I don't know, I'm 22 now. I think I've known him for 18 years, since I was 4 years old. Maybe 19 years or something like that. Sarah is Patrick's girlfriend, and I think they've been together for 2 or 3 years. So I only met her last year, actually. I know that we've been together for longer than last year, but I met her last year, and I'm really close with both of them.
Great. So a person that inspires you, it can be your mother if you want.
I think it's my one sister, to be honest. The one that I walked around Mont Blanc with, and climbed Kilimanjaro with. She inspires me. She really does inspire me, because I know that through the tough times she has committed, and I know it has been tough. I could have seen it tough, and through several rejections she has kept going, and that has inspired me. One rejection is not a no forever.
The last one is a online channel, like a YouTube channel or maybe a site that you like.
Yeah, that's funny. It kind of always changes. I don't know a specific YouTube channel. I enjoy reading. I don't have anything specific about it, to be honest.
No problem.
There's too much goodness out there.
That's it. I hope you enjoyed it. I think it was very interesting.
Indeed.
talked about some very interesting topic, and I really liked our talk.
Yeah, likewise. Once again, thank you for asking me, and thank you for taking your time, and also for moving the time, because I figured it was quite late at night, and I've made a rule here the last week. I've done a dopamine detox, so I've been resetting my dopamine receptors, meaning I haven't been using my phone for any digital entertainment, any phone use, any social media or dating or anything like that. And I've just restored my dopamine levels to things that's good for me, working out, educational videos, reading and eating well. So here lately I've been after I finished the detox, I made a plan and said, okay, between 11 and 4 or 12 and 5 I can use my phone. Before and after, it's a no-go. Then I can read, and if I wish to communicate with someone, I'll send them an email, but because there's no endless scrolling through Gmail, you know. Yeah,
that's a good thing to do. I should do it too, because really, I feel that since I've bought a smartphone when I was like 18 years old, I have become much, much, much more anxious, and this is horrible.
Leandro, for real, like, if you become unconscious about being conscious, then the unconsciousness controls you. And what controls us nowadays, because we're so indulged in it, is social media, is our phones. Like the biggest tech companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Instagram is sort of, or is controlled by Facebook or owned by Facebook. They all control us, man, for real. Technology. Yeah. If I have to have a serious conversation with someone, I'll ask them kindly to place their phones in another room and say,
yes,
okay, this. For real, like, technology, that's why I said I have a love-hate relationship to it. So yeah, read some books, read that Transforming Vibes, Transforming Lives. I think you'll really enjoy it.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
okay, that's it.
All right, thank you so much, Leandro. So you can just let me know when this episode has been used or done, then I'll tune in.
Don't be afraid, I will tell you. As I told you, it will take a while, maybe 4 months, because as I told you, yours is the number 20.
Number 20.
We are currently on number 4. Actually, this week we have 5 online, so it's 1 point.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
So if you make the math there, it's about 4 months. So, but no worries, I always send the link to my guests, so that you can listen and promote it on your social media and things like that.
Of course, not a problem. Just send it through, and if you ever wish to speak again, then ask away. And I can hear. I remember you said you were a teacher, and you have some very interesting questions. So I might also pop some questions your way.
Great. If you want to make a live with me, I would be glad. And as you said. Sometimes I promote programs here in Piano Bike Talks with more than one people, like a chat with 3 or 4 people about a specific topic. So if something, if I have some idea, I call you. I think it would be
not a problem.
3 or 4 people talking about something regarding art and productivity, okay?
Of course, let me know.
For sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Likewise, you must take care of yourself.
You too. Mm-hmm. See ya.
Yeah, cheers. Bye.
Bye.
This program has been brought to you by Piano Bike, the first Brazilian piano on wheels.